If you will indulge me, ladies and gentlemen, I am doing one more show on the Limited Era. It's going to be on Acts 28:28 theory. It is so treacherous. It is so deceptive. I don't see the appeal of it. It has no scriptural foundation. It's based on inference and supposition, and I'm going to expose it in one show and then move on. But it is what has led to this belief that 1 Corinthians chapter 7 belongs to a previous administration. It is what leads to the belief that the snatching away is not true. It's treacherous. It's dangerous. It's an Alice in Wonderland adventure that has no scriptural support. You have to really squint and look at it upside down to even see a possibility of it. There's a line drawn in the sand by those who support the Acts 28 theory, but there is no line there at all in Scripture. I'll tell you where the line is. The line is very clean, the line is very apparent, and the line is stated by Paul in Galatians chapter 2. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. I make sense for a living from a laundry room. It's my joy to do this from a laundry room. Let it confound the wisdom of the wise. Let it confound the cathedrals of humanity and the reputations of those who purport to be something, but they are nothing. Let God be true, though every human being a liar. One show, this is it, the last one, then back to the final years of Millennium 6, which we are in. I remind you, this is 5989 FA. That's right, we are 5,989 years from Adam, and there will be 6,000 years, I believe, before the kingdom comes. Now, Acts 28:28, what is it about? What's the appeal of it? Why has it even been invented? And it was invented. It was artificially invented. It's the supposition that in Acts 28:28, when Paul repudiates Israel, this is the third time in the entire scriptures, not just from Paul, that Israel is formally repudiated. But it happened a long time before that. It happened when the temple veil was rent at the death of Christ. Now the road was open for the nations. At that time, at the death of Christ, a road became open for the nations. That road wasn't manifested until Saul, the Pharisee, was called on the road to Damascus by the glorified Jesus Christ to bring a new evangel to non-Israelites. But that opened the way, and Israel was officially set aside. Jesus said, I will leave your temple to you desolate. And if the temple is desolate, then the nation is desolate. Israel continues in her state of desolation because she has no temple. And they're under the thumb of the nations now, just as they were in Babylon when they had no temple. It's true, the temple wasn't literally deconstructed until AD 70. But the pronouncement was made, I will leave your temple desolate, followed by a physical manifestation of it. In case there would be any room for debate, I would think that the all-important veil between God and the people, the veil between the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies, when that veil was torn in two, it's more than a clue. So God is just looking at different ways to expose Israel to herself when this information confronts Israel at the judgment. And in a formal trial setting, Paul from Rome dismisses Israel. Again, it's just Exhibit C in a, quote, murder that already occurred years before. It's just another pronouncement of nothing magical happening in Acts 28. Those who say that it was at this time now that Paul can finally go to the nations, this is the theory, that it's at this time, Acts 28:28, at the end of Paul's life when he's in jail, it's at this time that Paul can finally unburden himself and give his evangel to the nations, which makes anything Paul wrote before belong to Israel, because Paul was acting as somehow a servant of Israel before that time. And now, whatever Paul writes from Acts 28:28 forward, this is the scripture for the body of Christ. Everything else was not only immature. It's one thing to say everything else was an immature revelation to the body of Christ. I can go along with that. But to say that everything Paul wrote before is Israel truth, it's based on the Old Testament scriptures? No, Paul reveals many, many, many new things as soon as he comes out of the gate in Acts chapter 9. This is a false line. For one thing, you have to know, if you're going to say this, you have to know when Paul was in prison, what year he was in prison, and what year he wrote which letters. That's critical to understand. The problem is the Acts 28:28 theorists have no dates. If anybody should be setting dates, they should be. Because it's important to know the date. What's the magic line where we should start dividing Paul's letters between themselves? There is no magic line, because it has not pleased God to give that date. It has not pleased Paul to write in the introduction to his letters, "I write this from jail. I write this letter to you, O Ephesians, the day after I made that pronouncement in Acts 28:28, recorded by Luke when he was hanging around with me in prison in Rome." No, nothing like that, because there is no line there. The question I always ask myself is, what is the appeal of the Acts 28:28 theory? Why would you invent it? Why would you want to get rid of half of Paul's letters? I think it's a convenient, fast way to get rid of a problem. And the problem that the Acts 28:28 theorists see is that there's some strange things happening at the beginning of Paul's ministry. Paul does some healing. Paul baptizes a couple people. There's still the gift of languages, the gift of prophecy. And I think the Acts 28:28 theorists see this going on. And, oh, this is strange. It's a lot of Israelite things mixed in here. So we're going to just, instead of trying to see why that's happening, it's like a doctor sees a growth. And the doctor's not sure. This looks suspicious. I don't know what's happening. We're just going to cut the whole arm off. We see a little growth in the elbow, and we don't have the technology or the time, really, to figure out what this is happening. I'll tell you what, we're just going to cut the whole elbow off. I mean, the whole arm off. We're going to cut the whole arm off, and that's what they're doing. We're just going to cut all of Paul's early letters out, because we can't explain why these Israelite things are happening. It's too hard to explain why the Paul of, say, 1 Corinthians is talking about prophecy, talking about languages, doing some healing, baptizing a couple people. He eventually repudiated baptism, and there's your point. The body of Christ goes from immaturity to maturity. It goes from glory to glory, but it's still the body of Christ. It's still Paul to the nations. It's still his evangel. It's still not Israel. The truth in 1 Corinthians is so not Israel. The truth in Romans is so not Israel. We're reckoning a man to be justified apart from works of law. How in the world is that based on Israel truth? It's a simple matter of a immature body coming to maturity. And of Paul revealing greater truths to the body of Christ. You don't surgically excise the entire left arm. Because you have an issue with, why is he doing this? Figure it out. Here's the real line. Do you want to know where the real line is? The real line is so plain, and it's in Galatians 2, verse 7. Perceiving that I have been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision. That's it. Scripturally stated, clearly stated, a pure, distinct, beautiful line that I, Paul have been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision. And he came out of the gate heralding that evangel. You can find the beginnings of it in Acts chapter 13. Paul was called in Acts chapter 9, but in Acts chapter 13 is when his name was changed to Paul. It's Paul, not Saul, who is associated with the evangel of the uncircumcision. And in Acts chapter 13, not long after his conversion, his name is changed from Saul to Paul. Justification is mentioned for the first time in Acts chapter 13. Read it for yourself. That's not an Israelite truth. Justification? Declared righteous apart from works of law? That's new. It is not, as Clyde Pilkington tells you, it is not something based on Israelite truth. It may have been hinted at. But there are other things that were secrets that were brought to us in Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the secret of the change of our body. In Romans, the secret of the blindness of Israel. Paul says we are administrators of the secrets of God. These things were not founded on Israel truth. And if you look for the beginning of it at some nebulous man-made place, Acts 28:28, and then you have the audacity to cut off the entire left arm of half of Paul's letters because you can't explain a simple transition period, you are doing lawlessness. You are inventing a line where there is no line. It has not pleased God to tell us which letters Paul wrote before prison, which letters he wrote after prison. And that's a critical piece of information to have if you're an Acts 28:28 theorist. That's all you will remain, is a theorist. It's damaging. Again, it causes you to believe weird stuff. Like there's no snatching away for the body of Christ. That's weird. Of course there is. Or that 1 Corinthians belongs to a different administration where Paul would never give the advice to be undistracted for the Lord today. As we've been talking about, that's nonsense, foolishness, and wrong. If I could show you one verse proving that Paul brought new truths in his early letters, then the Acts 28:28 theory would be demolished. But what if I could bring you over 20 proofs? 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 and 7. Before that, this quote from Clyde Pilkington. This is from volume 490 of Bible Student's Notebook. The early ministry and epistles of Paul were founded on the Old Testament and Israel. Really? Founded? On the Old Testament and Israel. Paul borrows truths from the Old Testament, yes. He references the patriarchs, especially Abraham, yes. But to say that they're founded on it is simply not true. And I have 25 proofs that they're not true. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 and 7. Wisdom are we speaking among the mature, even then in 1 Corinthians. Yet a wisdom not of this aeon, neither of the chief men of this aeon, who are being discarded. But we are speaking God's wisdom in a secret, wisdom which has been concealed, which God designates before the aeons for our glory. And Paul is speaking this wisdom. Which wisdom? The wisdom that had never been revealed. And he's revealing it to the mature, and he's writing this in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, early letter, part of the arm that's being excised by the Acts 28:28 theorists, he says this, thus let a man be reckoning with us, let a man be reckoning with us as deputies of Christ and administrators of God's secrets. Paul was an administrator of God's secrets, that is, things never before revealed, to the Corinthians. He's revealing secrets to the Corinthians. Conclusion is that Paul's early ministry is not founded upon the Old Testament in Israel. 1 Corinthians again, for Christ does not commission me to be baptizing, but to be bringing the evangel. Galatians 2:7, I have been entrusted with the evangel of the circumcision, and God Christ commissioned Paul for this. When? At his calling in Acts chapter 9, and it begins to hit the ground officially when Paul's name is changed in Acts chapter 13. Way before Acts chapter 28, hello, way, 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 way before. And Paul's name on a letter, this is vitally important to you. Do not throw out half of Paul's letters. They're for you today, the body of Christ. Paul's name on a letter demarcates that letter as belonging to the uncircumcision. Paul's name. I was entrusted, Paul says, with the evangel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision. When you see Peter's name, this is so simple. When you see Peter's name, it's the evangel of the circumcision. When you see Paul's name, when you see Paul's name, it is evidence that this is a letter to the uncircumcision, that is to the body of Christ. Every letter with Paul's name on it is to the body of Christ. And Paul starts every letter with his name. Paul, a called apostle. Paul, to the Corinthians. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Paul, Paul, Paul. Not Saul, Paul. That's the only line we need. This isn't, therefore, complicated. Peter and Paul. The circumcision versus the uncircumcision. Forgiveness versus justification. Paul, conciliated to God. Peter, still struggling with your sins, trying to overcome. That's your line. Peter and Paul, that's your line. I got to do one more show on this. On this. Because it belongs to the current era. I thought I was going to get it done today. I got 22 more proof verses. Proof verses. That's what we do here. We look at scripture. We look at it in context. We look at the big picture. We look at God's lines, not the lines drawn by desperate human beings trying to explain something that they don't understand.